Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, John. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Yeah, well, at least things are cooling down a little bit. A little taste of fall is upon us, I think. Seasons change, and you know, there are seasons to our spiritual lives as well. And here at Neighbors of Hope, in our Life Change study group, we just wrapped up a study of the Beatitudes. And I know we shared a little bit about that study on last week's edition of Word Made Flesh. This week we want to, I guess you could say to some degree, we'll tie into it a little bit, but for the most part, we're just going to launch out at the request of one of our guests here at Neighbors of Hope. And so Mark has suggested we do this edition on Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. So Mark, would you like to go ahead and kick it off by giving us that reading of Scripture? Thank you.
As they were walking along, the man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me," but he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God."
There you go. All right, Mark, why don't you go ahead and kick it off? I know it's kind of your pericope of choice there. So what prompted you to want to have us?
Well, seeing as, you know, I'm close to graduating here.
How close are you to graduating, Mark?
31 days.
31 days? Who's counting, right? That's, yeah, well, that's exciting.
I've been here since 8. Yeah, well, seeing as, you know, I'm kind of seeing myself staying within the ministry here, this kind of resonates with me in the sense of, you know, if you're working for the kingdom, you know, what good is investing elsewhere, you know, outside to, you know, your own interests, to building your own future somewhere instead of, you know, putting yourself where your true self exists instead of into this fake
illusionary
world.
Yeah.
Yes. Trying to build for yourself this fake life and compartmentalize the kingdom. Saying you have Jesus on Sunday, but you have the job the other 5 days of the week, and you pack up the family and go on vacation on Saturday or whatever. I think I'm called to more than that.
Okay. Anybody else?
For me, of course, the work involved. But for me, it's like the plowing and the work. You know, the more you plow, to me, looking back, it's like, it's just work is what we're called to do as a kingdom builder. Look back and see how much I plowed compared to others. You know, for me, like in this plowing we're using, the farther along you get or the higher up you get, you need to stay humble and remember who got you off the floor in the first place and that you came from that dirt. And now you're just honored and loved so much that you're allowed to plow it and cultivate it and pray for more workers to come. You're part of it. You know, so I think for me personally, the farther we have in this our faith thing and sobriety, we're so quick to kind of pat ourselves in the back. And the higher you get up the mountaintop, you got to remember, you know, sometimes it gets cold up there, the air gets thinner up there. We kind of forget about where we came from. Not looking back so far and going from where we came from, but you have to appreciate and show gratitude for the climb and for even those times in the valley. But I think the work aspect, yeah, we can't, it's not about us. Called work. we're blessed to even be part of something to put the work in. I love and blessed so much that we can choose to put the work in or not. It's not, we're not made to plow, but we freely do it. You know, not knowing the destination, not knowing where this is going. I might not even see it in my lifetime, probably won't. My grandma did it, you know, people before, but they ran their race, they plowed, they did their part. They were the stone to the building. So we carry on tradition, we keep on doing it. Even though they're you know, you might not see the reward. You might see our efforts are just futile or but and tedious and toilsome for sake of being tedious and toilsome, but it's not. It's not. No. And that's all I know. And sometimes even when I don't see it, I just feel it. I'm only just know. You just know. It's not all for nothing. And I think,
Yeah. Yeah, I'll comment on that in a second. You got anything?
Yeah, Zach made me think about something with, you know, with saying like a level of gratitude from when, you know, when you encounter, you know, when you encounter Christ and you think about what he has rescued you from, what kind of seeing the kingdom being here now opens your eyes to. You know, it's funny how experience of real true pain tends to make people gentle, tends to make people grateful. It's all these things that we then start to see are gifts of the Spirit. These beautiful, true things that have really always been in you, that have really always been part of the kingdom. But like Mark was alluding to, we box stuff in or we think we're a certain person and God says, hey, wake up. We got a lot of stuff to do. Let's go. You're this beautiful person that I created. I love seeing that. You know, I love seeing that through the gospel or through other people or seeing other people kind of wake up, seeing yourself wake up. Just the whole experience, watching it happen is cool. And it's always been going on. We're so busy doing our own thing, tending to our own past, burying our own dead that we don't see what's growing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what he's cultivating us, you know.
Yeah.
And getting to take part of that, you know.
Yeah. Do you have something further? Well, let's see if we can put a little bit in its context. We know, you know, the chapter before this, or earlier in that chapter, we had the Transfiguration. We have a couple of the feedings of the multitudes. Jesus is collecting an audience, a following. Hmm. All right. Earlier in Luke, he's already sent out the 12. We know right on the heels of this, he's going to be sending out the 70. So you get the impression with this increased attention and follow, you know, a crowd of curiosity. Right? But some ago, we've seen him do some pretty cool things. And the Transfiguration, we've got Peter with an identification of who he is. And so he's heading for Jerusalem. I think I'd like to be a part of this movement. That's what people are approaching. Right? Out of the people approaching, we get to, in this little pericope, some of those going, ah, you're not quite ready. Right? There's kind of this rejection. Not that the invitation or the appreciation of your interest isn't grasped by Jesus. However, he does talk about there's a cost to this. If we were to jump down on the pericope right after where he sends out 70, we get the impression, well, at least 70 people above and beyond the 12, right, he sends out, he commissions to go out. Right? A couple insights then. Jesus is the rabbi. He's the teacher. Teachers are always looking for students. Rabbis are looking for disciples. When Jesus says, come follow me, what he's really saying as a rabbi is like, come be me. A bunch of many me's, a bunch of me's become community. Come, let's be community. Let's fellowship with one another. Let's do the good work together. All right? He has an interesting way as a rabbi on what he does with the disciples. He basically just sends them out two by two, right? The 12 and the 70, and those that, if you're going to do this, you need to go out, and you need to go out and say what I say and do what I do. The work. Because that's all I've been doing. I've been saying certain things about the Father. I've been doing certain things for the Father. he wraps all that up and says, this saying and this doing stuff is about the kingdom. And on these, we see that you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Right? That, Zach, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of work. Right? Saying things to promote the kingdom of God is an act of work. Doing things to make the kingdom of God a reality takes a lot of work. And so if we can come up with all kinds of excuses not to fully participate in that, right? Because what we say and what we do is really what we like to think here at Neighbors of Hope, we epitomize, and that's provide hospitality, healing, and hope. That's what Jesus did. These people saw that. They're intrigued by it. And so then they come up and say, you know, hey, I'd kind of like to follow you. He says, well, that's great. Here's the cost. You know? I have no place to lay my head. And do you really, in some degree, are you willing to be homeless? Are you willing to be a vagabond like myself? Right? So it's interesting to say, well, we'll show up on Sunday and worship a homeless man, but we're not going to take care of him on Monday through Saturday. All right? That's not kingdom building. You don't have it. He's not saying you can't ever get it, but you obviously don't have it right now. You have to be willing to travel with just, what'd you say, a toothbrush and a comb? Right? I mean, simplicity. And the reason for that is so that your complete dependence is upon God. Your interdependence is upon those you're going to come in contact with, because part of advancing and building the kingdom of God is people. Right? Yeah, but let me go bury my father, which in a Jewish tradition, you have particularly if you're the elder son, you have a responsibility, right, to take care of the dead. So, hey, the kingdom of God is really about the living. This is a living organism. It's, you know, it's organic. It has to move forward. That doesn't help advance the kingdom. So you're still not ready. All right? And then again, look at it. Let me go take care of this. And he says, hey, if you're going to look back, if you're going to second guess yourself, you're not ready. What he's really saying, look at it. If you're not willing to be with me and to be me on all aspects, you can't help with the advancement of the kingdom. It takes that level of commitment. And I agree that, Mark, that I think, and Zach, I mean, there's a lot of people, we don't really do the work. There's a lot of people that don't want to make that level of commitment. But everything that we see in Jesus and what he says and what he does nothing but reflect his complete, his uttermost dependence on his Father, on God. It's his one thing. So in the Beatitudes, we talk about pure of heart, right? Single-mindedness. We see that in the entire life of Jesus. His life, ministry, and even his death. It's all about the Father. Right? So preparation. To be participants in advancing the kingdom. And in here we say the reign, the will, right, the rule of God. Takes a complete commitment. Right? Complete dependence upon. Some people are ready, some aren't. Perhaps the inspiring thing about this is we see that right on the heels of this pericope, he commissions the 70, right? Sends them out to do this, say what I say and do what I do. So we went from 12 to 70, so there are some people in first century Jesus time that were willing, he identified as willing to make that kind of commitment. Obviously, we all know the rest of the gospel stories. Even some of the 12 go, well, I thought I made that commitment, but I'm backing off here, so I'm going to deny you, I'll betray you, I'm going to abandon you, right? So when the going gets tough, these guys start running. Very good, gentlemen. We're running short on time, so we probably end this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a Women's and Children's Transitional Housing Program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.